First John chapter 3 this evening. First John chapter 3. Brother Michael won't be here on Sunday morning, and Pastor would like to use those couple of preachers that we have here from Louisiana on Sunday. So I'm gonna teach the Sunday school lesson tonight. What we'd have there, so we stay on track. So 1 John chapter 3, and tonight we're going to be covering the verses 11 through 24. 1 John chapter 3, verses 11 through 24. That song we sang there earlier, I rejoice in the Lord. Just mark it down. You're going to have to sometime in your life, in your Christian life, sing that song through tears. When you get to that end, and it says there, he says, he makes no mistakes. And it's going to hurt like, And you're going to be able to pray and say, God, I believe you have not made a mistake in this issue in my life, in this circumstance. God, I trust you. Hebrews 13. I'll just read it to you. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. There's going to come a point in your Christian life where for you to praise the Lord, it's going to be a sacrifice, a spiritual sacrifice. The Old Testament, those people, the Old Testament Jew, they make a sacrifice. You come over to the New Testament, you find in the Psalms, and the New Testament, there are spiritual sacrifices that the New Testament Christian has to make. And one of them, it could be praise, where you praise God for something and you're hurting. It's killing you. But it's a sacrifice. It's a sacrifice of praise. Just mark it down, because the test will come. First Peter, we talked about the fiery trial, and sometimes it just seems like there's one trial that stands out more than all the others. You're going to have to go through a trial. God, I trust you. I don't understand, but God, I trust you, and I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. He's made no mistakes. He knows the path that we take. So that's a tremendous song. Don't ever lose sight of it. I believe Ron Hamilton wrote that song. And if I remember the story right, he goes in to have eye surgery and he comes out without one eye. He loses an eye. Rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistakes. They found something, I forget the whole story, but they found something that had to remove the eye. That's why they called him Patch the Pirate. And Ron Hamilton done all those series of CDs of stuff for kids, and that's one of the songs that's come from it. It's a tremendous song, a lot of truth in it. And it's only as we enter into some of those things where you get the full gist of it, like It Is Well With My Soul, when Spafford, when he wrote that, he could write It As Well after his wife and children gone. So sometimes those writers go through some extreme things, and God gives them a song in the night, and we get to sing it and rejoice in it, and it ministers to us years down the road. But just remember those things. Okay, let's go back to 1 John 3. I believe I need to just encourage you. It's not, Christian life is not going to be smooth sailing. So just be ready to have a sacrifice of praise, a spiritual sacrifice that you're going to give to the Lord, when you can say, God, I thank you for this. And it hurts and you're just going through all sorts. Just say, God, I trust you. Let's pray. Father, as we open the Word of God now, please help us. Lord, may those songs be true. May, God, they be real to us. And Lord, there's going to come some times of hurt and disappointment, frustration, Lord, anxiousness, anxiety. But Lord, you've done all things well. You've never made a mistake. And may God, our hearts just be set upon thee. And Lord, even though we don't understand, we'd still trust, believing at the end of the day, God, you'd give us light. Please, Father, be with the folk out west tonight now as they're in service. Oh, may God, thy Holy Spirit, have a liberty to move in that place. Speak to hearts, draw hearts, Father, unto yourself. Be glorified. I pray, Father, as the gospel goes out, God, it'd go out with power. And God, it'd go out, Lord, in simplicity. That, Father, a lost sinner might be able to just take a hold of the word of God and trust your son, come out a changed person. Give Brother Phil, give him, Father, wisdom and a sermon for that ministry and for the things that are going on. I pray there'd be a good spirit of unity there. That, Lord, that the word might go out. Now help us here tonight, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Verse 11. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works are evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart, and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. Now, as we look at these verses tonight, we see that the theme of these verses is loving one another. Now, that has already been covered. We covered that firstly. John mentions it in 1 John chapter 1 and through into verse 2. And in that instance, we'll consider it the idea that if the believer walks in the light, he's going to love other Christians. That all came under the idea of fellowship with the Lord. But now as we move from chapters 1 and 2, which dealt with fellowship, as we come to chapters 3, 4, and 5, they deal with sonship. One of the proofs that we are a child of God is that we love one another. It's a proof, it's a testament, it shows that we are born of God. Verses 1 to 10 of this chapter deal with practicing righteousness, about doing right. Like in verse 7, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. So chapter 2 finishes off about doing righteousness. Chapter 3, verses 1 to 10 pick up about if you're saved, you'll do right, you'll practice righteousness. From verses 11 through 24, it's about loving the brethren. Verse 10 is stated in a negative state, the children of God are manifest, and the children of devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. So two parts to it. Verses 1 to 10 has to do with righteousness, doing right. Now we pick up this thought about loving our brethren, verses 11 through 24. Now, as we cover down through these verses, we're going to there are four possible ways that we can deal with others. In verses 11, 12, we could murder somebody like Cain. Verses 13 through 15, we could hate somebody. Verses 11 through 15, there's hatred. We could deal in hatred. Verses 16 and 17, talk about indifference, apathy. Yeah, that seems to have taken off. People are non-committal. And Christians yet are when they're in their relationship to other Christians. Or you can go, as we see verses 18 through 24, we see there the true Christian love or Christian compassion, the demonstration of that love. So verse 11, now let's move through these things. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning. You know, what we hear in the beginning is important. It is of great importance what you hear at the beginning of your Christian life. It shows the emphasis. It shows the importance of discipleship and a young Christian, just a new convert, just saved, and how they need to be grounded in the Word of God. Why? Because the things that people are discipled in, grounded in, are to stick with them right through their Christian life. Just like you take a little child, and as that child grows, that child is being taught different things. Imagine a child growing and tree. No, that's a car. Tree, no, car. Oh, all mixed up. Christians, we need to be grounded in the truth. And what we hear from the beginning is so important to be grounded. It's important for Christians to be grounded in the truth. If our spiritual experience originated with God, we're going to live in truth, we're going to love. But if it started in the devil, if we're not really a child of God, we're putting it on, well, we're going to kill somebody. We're going to murder somebody. Cain, it says, verse 12, not as Cain, who was of that wicked one. Now, if you want to know the story of Cain, Genesis chapter 4, and you'll hear all about Cain. You read about him, and he didn't like what he didn't like the offering that his brother brought. Why? Because God accepted the offering of the brother of Abel and rejected Cain's offering. Now, there's nothing recorded in Scripture how Cain knew, how it was demonstrated, but Cain knew. God accepted Abel's offering and he rejected his. And Cain didn't like that. So what did Cain do? Killed his brother. I've seen four boys grow up and they've each wanted to kill each other at some stage during their upbringing. And just for the shame of not of getting caught killing somebody, they have refused. They've stopped short. But I've seen them just butt heads. I thought, oh, here we go. Well, Cain and Abel, the original brothers. Yeah, one didn't like it. You know, Cain comes along. Cain presents as a child of, he doesn't present as an atheist. He presents as a worshiper of God. But he was religious. He didn't have a love for his brother. And he's religious. And he brought an offering. Oh, I'll do it this way. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Somewhere in there, God told them what sort of offering to bring. Because Hebrews 4, Abel brought an offering by faith. So somewhere, God tells Abel what to bring. Abel believes it, Abel does what God's asked him to do. But somewhere in there, Cain says, oh, I'm going to bring this. This is my strength. My strength is the fruit of the ground. And in the end, Cain just kills his brother. Do you know, it's a test of our relationship, of our salvation, our love for the brethren, our love for one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one for another. It shows that there's been a change takes place, because in our lost state, we're not like that. In Titus chapter 3 and verse 3, it gives a description ye were, and it talks about what ye were. And at the end of chapter 3 in verse 3, it says, hateful and hating one another. Lost people hate. They're hateful, they hate one another. But what ought to mark a Christian is a love, especially for the brethren, for one another. We're all the same. We all came from the same pit. None of us are any better than anybody else. All sinners, if you're saved, you're a sinner saved by grace. You're no different, you're no better than anybody else. Yes, some may have this strength, some may have that weakness. And yet God works in all of us to mature us, to grow us, that we might be more like his son. And we allow God. As we come down through these things, it shows about our love for one another. Cain was of that wicked one. You know, there is a lineage. Cain was of that lineage of the devil. It says of the devil in John chapter 8, verse 44, that he was a liar and a murderer from the beginning. And what did Cain do? Cain, where's Abel, thy brother? Am I my brother's keeper? I don't know where he is. Lied, but he already killed him. He's like his father. He's of that wicked one. He was of that wicked one. He hated his brother. Why? Because God accepted his brother's offering and yet rejected his. And Cain was going to take care of business. Cain was going to do that. Cain wanted to worship God his way and exercise his will in it. And that's not what it ought to be. Verse 13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Cain pictures the world. A Christian, the world's going to hate you. If you love Jesus, the world's going to hate you. It's going to hate you. Marvel not. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. You don't go out. There are some Christians that go out just to upset people. You know, they're kooks. Just live for God, have a sweet spirit, minister to one another, minister to the lost, and you'll get opposition. Somewhere along the way, someone will say, why are you doing that? Just leave me alone. Oh, blankety blank, whatever they might come out with. But you'll face that opposition. The world will hate you. You don't set out to get it, to do that. Just live for God and do right. Have a sweet spirit and see how God can use you to be a blessing and a help to somebody else. You know, the whole idea of it, the world hates Christ for the same reason that Cain hated Abel. It's the same reason. It hasn't changed. God accepted one, rejected the other. Abel showed faith. God says, look, Cain, you need to be like your brother. But yet Cain was just like any other. What happened was, I don't like the message. I'm going to kill him. And that's what he done. Killed his own brother. You know, you go back, you move forward from Cain and Abel, Genesis 4. You move over into the Gospels. And what do they want to do with Jesus? They want to kill him. They weren't going to accept his message. They weren't going to repent and change. They didn't want to. They had everything organized. Kill him. Get rid of him. Shut him up. And they thought they'd gotten rid of him. But 3 days later, he rose. And yet he's made a change in all of us some 2,000 years later. If you're saved, he's made a change in you some 2,000 years later. In Australia, the other side of the world, long ways from the hill called Calvary. About loving one another. Cain represents the world. Verses 14 and 15 speaks about the habitual sin of a believer, the habitual sin in his life. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Notice the progression. We've gone from love to love not, to hate, to murder. And that'll happen. Love, don't love them no more. I hate them, I'm going to kill them. Natural progression. I'm sure there's been times, I'll take a hit for the team. I'm sure there's times when each one of us has wanted to kill somebody. But it's not talking about the one-off, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill her. I'm going to kill all of them. Yeah, nuked a lot of them. No, these verses are talking about habitually. You got to set against somebody, you hate them. I'm telling you, your hate is going to kill you quicker than it will anybody else. It'll eat you up. It'll just continually gnaw at your heart. You need to deal with it. It'll just keep gnawing and gnawing and gnawing and doing that. The only thing that stops us from murdering somebody, literally murdering somebody, is the shame of it, jail sentence, all the things that go with life behind bars. You see, God doesn't say, what did you do? God says, what's in your heart? He looks right past. He looks right past what you do with your hands. He looks in your heart. Neil, what would you have done if you had opportunity to? That's what you're guilty of. Oh, Lord, I just thought of it. Oh, no, you thought of it, you relished it, you planned it, you thought, man, how good and how sweet it'd be to actually do some hurt to somebody. Christian, God looks past the actions of our hands to the thoughts of our hearts. The thoughts, the intents of the heart, God looks past those things to what's in the heart. It's far more important to see what's in the heart. You'll hurt yourself. That I tell you, people that hate those haters, they put themselves in a spiritual and an emotional prison, and it's just going to be a struggle for them to get anything done for the Lord. Because they're in captivity to their own hurt, just what they want to do to somebody else. Remember, hatred is a characteristic of the lost. It ought not be a characteristic of our life. We may enter into it. Oh, you're driving to church, someone cuts you, I'm going to kill him. Running, oh, I wish I could run him off the road. But if you're habitually in a point of hate, murder, if you're continually going that way, you got problems, you got issues. Whoso hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Love, our love for another really is a good test. Verse 14, we know that we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. Just put somebody's name in, someone that really aggravates you. I know I've passed from death unto life because I love Neil Smith. Or put somebody else's name in there, someone that just aggravates you to death. I know a few years ago I would have killed so-and-so, but God saved me and he's changed me and he gives me grace with that person. It really is a tremendous test to see where we're at, having that love in our heart, especially for one another. You see, the test isn't just in not doing evil as in murdering. Look in verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? See, we're not supposed to do evil, hating and murdering, verses 11, 12, down to 15. But we're supposed to do good, verses 16, 17. But yet some Christians don't want to do good. That's that apathy. That's that indifference. You see, John 3:16, that's what God done for us. But 1 John 3:16 is what we do for somebody else. Oh, we rejoice in John 3:16, but it ought to come out in 1 John 3:16 in the demonstration of our God demonstrated his love to us, John 3:16, and gave his life. 1 John 3:16, we give our lives in service, in sacrifice. We love one another. We demonstrate that love. We open up our hearts, we give, and we minister to somebody else. It's about ministering, about loving one another. Self-preservation is the first law of the physical life. Sacrifice is the first law of the spiritual life. You're willing to do something for somebody else. And you just go ahead and you take care of that and you do that. We stop doing evil, hating and murdering, and we start doing good. We are to be loving somebody, loving one another. We're to demonstrate that love. But you see verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But see how it starts? But see, contrary to verse 16, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need. Now, isn't it amazing? Verse 16, it says, see how we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But when you get to verse 17, it goes from brethren plural to brother singular. It's so easy for us to talk about brethren and helping our church. But verse 17 comes down to one brother. Is there one that you could do something for, that you can show love for? You won't lay down your life for the brethren if you can't do one thing out of love for one brother. Isn't it amazing how God just puts it where it's at? It's so much easier talking and praying about helping others than what it is to sacrifice maybe our time, our effort, maybe what the world's goods that we have by us, and we go ahead and we minister to somebody. We go ahead and do that. See verse 18, my little children, let us love in word. Let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. See, Christian, our love is supposed to be in deed and in truth. But you see, when it says, let us not love in word, neither in tongue. In other words, being superficial, showing, talking about it. You know, oh yeah, I'd love to get involved. You see, if you don't know the need and you don't have what's needed, you're not condemned. You're clear. But if you see someone have need and you have what they need and you shut up those bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God? You've got what they need. Nah. Stingy. Trust God. You give it to them. Trust God that he'll meet that need for you when you need it. Maybe they don't have the faith that you have. Here, have it. I've got it right here. Don't you need it? Not right now. And you trust God to give to you what you need when you need it. But you got to risk giving it up first. You got to be able to give it first and then see God give it back to you. So be careful of that apathy, shutting up those bowels of compassion. Oh, he can get it from, I know he's going to see so-and-so, they've got one, they'll give it to him. They might, but you miss out on the blessing of providing and meeting a need in somebody's life. You miss the blessing. They get the blessing, you miss your blessing by doing that. So if you see a need and those things, do that. Look to minister. Galatians 6:10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. And it might be money, it might be things, it might be time. You know, some people just need friendship. Just a friendly word, just a little bit of conversation can make a world of difference. So don't think, oh, he's after my money. I'm not after your money. It just might be the sacrifice of time and some conversation to minister to somebody in need. Something that you can do, you can go ahead and do that. Verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Let's make sure that when we do love, when we do love one another, when we demonstrate that, let's make sure we do it in deed and in truth. Not just talk about it. Remember over in James chapter 2, it talks about, you know, you see someone in need, be ye warmed and filled. Oh, yes, be warm. Oh, be filled. Oh, hope you eat well. Hope you get warm. And you walk away, and yet you have what's needed. Be careful of just palming that off. But I don't have much myself. You don't think the Lord knows that? And sometimes we just, here, have this. Here, I can help meet that need and do that. Just that idea of ministering to somebody's need. And when we love, let's love in sincerity. You know, a genuine love attracts. You know, as Aussies, we always talk about being fair dinkum, true blue. We don't like fakes. We don't like insincerity. For us, it repels us if we think someone's being fake about something. But so much more, true love, how it really attracts others. When your love is true, when it's genuine, when it's demonstrated in sincerity. Here, have this. Oh, yes, that's loving, isn't it? That's the sweet spirit of the lowly Galilean. I heard someone say, you know, just minister and you give it out of the heart of love. He sacrificed for you. You sacrifice for somebody else. Don't ever lose sight how much people minister to you. People are ministering to us all the time. We just minister. It comes in, it goes out. It comes in, it goes out. Somebody ministers love to me, I minister love to somebody else. Someone gives me a book, I pass a book out. There's ways that we can minister to one another, trying to help one another, love them, and let us see each other get down the road. The verses 19 through 24, there are three benefits that happen when we will exercise Christian love. Three benefits. In verses 19 and 20, we have assurance. We have assurance. In verses 21 and 22, we have answers to prayer. And verses 23 and 24, we have the abiding. We have God's abiding. So let's cover these things now. Verse 19, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before God. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Notice in verse 19, we have assured hearts. In verse 20, we have accusing hearts. A heart that condemns, if our heart condemns us, our heart is accusing us. You haven't met the standard. You haven't done what is right. You know you're not right with God. You know you're out of fellowship. Oh. But yet when we're in fellowship and we're loving one another, we have an assured heart. Our hearts have that assurance, that peace in the heart. Hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Our relationship with others impacts our relationship with the Lord.
If you're out on this level, you're out this way. Oh, I don't believe that. Just try it and see. You're going to be miserable. You're out this way. You're out this way. It's the cross. We need to make sure. But they won't reconcile. Ah, that's not your fault. That's their fault. You make sure that your heart is clear towards other people. If their heart is unclear towards, is murky against you, they have to deal with that. All I'm talking about is you and the Lord. You may need to make sure you're right this way, and then you'll be right this way. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, talks about the husband and the wife, and when they're at loggerheads, it affects their prayer life. When we're at loggerheads this way, it affects our relationship this way. We need to take care of our relationships. Matthew 5. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remembers that thy brother have ought against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. You make sure you're right this way before you look this way. First, he says, first. Verse 20 talks about a condemning heart or an accusing conscience, a conscience that accuses us. It's going to rob you of peace. What would you pay to have peace? To have sweet peace. What would you pay to have sweet peace? Just take care of some things. Just take care of it. And that peace will flood your soul. Oh, what a difference it'll make. You won't have an accusing conscience and just driving that. And just every time you hear a name, every time you thought, go ahead and deal with it. If our heart condemn us, be careful, because sometimes your heart, it's deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, Jeremiah 17, it will wrongly condemn you. It will wrongly condemn you. Your own heart will. God will never, because it says there, for if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. God will never wrongly condemn you. You need to find out, is this God condemning me or is this me condemning me? There is a morbid self-examination and everything along that line where you're just down on yourself and me, and I'm against me. It's morbid. It's wrong. It's not spiritual. It's fleshly. You think you're doing yourself a favor by acting that way. You're not. You're harder on you than God is on you. That's not you. That's not God doing that. That's you doing that. It's bad enough when God just deals with us. Imagine Peter denied the Lord. Imagine when they got together. Imagine what the conversation. I don't know. I don't know what was involved. I don't know if there's a lot of talk. Or Peter just bowed his head and, Lord, you're right. You said I'd deny you, and I did. I don't know what was spoken of. You know, the Lord saw Peter's heart, and he says, go tell the disciples and Peter, make sure Peter hears. I want him to come too. Because the Lord saw Peter's heart. Mary and Martha. Martha's condemning Mary. Mary's sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Martha's doing a good Baptist singer, making the casserole, whatever she was doing. And she's on it. She said, Lord, tell her, Lord. Leave her alone. Because the Lord saw the heart of Mary, and he didn't condemn her, even though she was condemned by others. You know, the Lord will never wrongly condemn us. We run out of time fast. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. You know, a clear heart, you're going to have confidence toward God. In verse 21, verse 22, and whatsoever we ask, you know, when your heart's clear, when there's no condemnation, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. A love for the brethren is going to produce a confidence towards God and a clear heart. You're not going to be able to truly love each other, love one another, if your heart's not clear before God. You won't be able to do it. You can keep up a facade, but there won't be a genuine love for one another when you're not right this way. But when you're right this way, you're going to be able to love this way. It's going to make it possible to be able to do that. Verse 22, whatsoever we ask, we've looked at that. We need to finish. So whatsoever we ask of him, we receive. Man, isn't that a blessing to get an answer to prayer? Because God sees your heart. He's not afraid to give you the thing that you desired of him, the thing that you had, the thing that was on your heart. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. How did you get that? God was just gracious and gave me something that I wanted. We heard a testimony earlier. God gave me something. I really didn't know how it was going to happen, but I was able to do that. If we'd put the Lord first and do that, we'd just see so much. We'd see just what God could do. Verse 23, and this is the commandment. Let me skip ahead to 24, and then we'll come back to it. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him. Let's work backwards now. If we dwell in him, verse 24, we will keep, verse 24, his commandments, that's in verse 23, so that we are able to ask and receive and get what we want. That's the reverse order of it. We abide, we obey his commandment here, twofold commandment. We believe on the name of Jesus, his son Jesus Christ, and love one another. Remember over in the Gospels, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. Then he says, and thou shalt love one another, love your neighbor as yourself. Love this way first, then this way will come. But it all starts with abiding, verse 24. If we will abide, if we will obey his commands, we will find then that we can ask, we'll have boldness, confidence to ask, and then God will answer those things. I've probably given us enough. If we look at it, if a man belongs to if a man murders, he belongs to Cain, who is of the wicked one. If a man hates, he belongs to the world. If a man is indifferent, apathetic, he's a fleshly Christian. If a man has that true compassion, he's walking with the Lord. He's abiding in him. It makes a difference. Folk, a lot in it. A lot in it. The test for us is loving one another. Loving one another. We have an opportunity. Lay down our lives for brethren, see a brother have need. Yeah, have a look at the brethren, but always be looking for the one that's got a need to minister. Father, we thank you so much for the word of God, and Lord, just where you put it, that God's going to make so much difference. We pray that we take it on board, that Lord, we'd want to live these things out, that Father, we'd love you first, we'd abide in you, we'd obey. God, we'd find that we could love our brethren, we'd see answers to prayer, we'd have a confidence to approach you. Lord, how you just seem to wrap it all up in such a neat little package. May God, we not miss the Lord, these deep truths. And may God, we just follow after thee. God, give us, Lord, safety these next few days. Answer to prayer. Deal with us in our hearts. Our friends out west as they travel back in. Use them as they continue to publish the gospel. And Lord, grant them safety. We look forward to all being together again someday soon. God, go before us now in Jesus' name.